I think Father Rick is going to talk about prayer tonight, especially persistent prayer, maybe.
Yeah, I think that in our day and age, when we watch the news, this last couple of days, for whatever reason, said there wasn't much on TV, and I was trying to do some reading, but I had the TV on, and I was not watching stories, but I was watching some of those programs about real life police work. They gave a statistic at the beginning of one of those police stories. And the statistic was that in the year 2025, every 5 seconds, two people were being arrested. That means, now I'm not talking about terrible things, I just mean any kind of arrest, you know, going through a stop sign or something. But that means that in 2025, the police in the United States, Alaska and Hawaii, and that arrested over 14,600,000 people in the United States. They arrested them. I think it's one of those kinds of things that, as I watched a couple of these shows, I would have to say 99% of those that they arrested, for whatever reason, I don't care if it was going through a stop sign, killing somebody, robbing a bank, causing a crash or an accident, by the time they arrested that person and went through their automobile, almost every one of them either had alcohol or drugs in their car. Almost everyone, I'd say 99%. People live in this world with the idea that they have to milk it for all the fun and excitement that they can get. When they aren't getting what they want, then they will do other things. It's not always young people, it's not always white males, it's not always bums that they're arresting, it's across the board. Husbands and wives and people that are divorced and people that have a bunch of kids and all of this. They're doing this stuff because deep down they're not real happy. And they think this stuff is going to do the job and get them to the happiness. I don't know how many of you picked up the book that the churches were offering this Christmas called Slowing Down to the Speed of Joy. But it really should, you ought to read it, because he's telling us pretty much the same thing, that we're all out for something. We need to stop. We need to stop, because it's not in stuff that we find our happiness, our joy. It's in, really, our relationship that we have with God. And the one thing that God really hopes from us is that we work at our relationship with Him, that we do what we have to call spend time. We can do that, obviously, by Mass and prayers and devotions and what have you. And we do this not because we're hoping that God will give us everything we want. That isn't the reason. We do it because we want God to be truly in our lives in a very real and concrete way. To come to know that He is there no matter what. The situations, good or bad, indifferent. that He is really, truly with us. I think I mentioned already these televangelists that basically say that, you know, we can get what we want if we kind of browbeat God, come across strong, you know, God, you better give me this or else kind of a thing. They don't say it in those words, but that's what it comes down to. And that's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to open ourselves up to the work of God that He wants to do in us. So the more that we pray, I'm not saying that we have to always be down on our knees and using a prayer book, but just the time that we take to spend with God when we get up during the day, at home, when we go to bed at night, the time that we put ourselves in touch with God is really very, very important, because that's where we build our relationship with Him. Formal prayer is very, very important. Coming together, whether it's here or at Mass or some other devotions, those are all very, very important things. But our own prayer is also very, very important for our own spiritual life. We have to understand that there are times and crises when we feel that we really have to pray very hard or very long for something. That may be down the pike, may take a while, but sometimes we may be praying for such a long time that we get tired of it. We don't want to pray that anymore. We don't see anything happening, and so we kind of fold up shop. God wants us to pray. He wants us to be persistent in that kind of prayer that says, God, regardless of what I see or don't see, I know You are at work. The faulty idea is that many times when we start like a novena or something like that, we want to pray for something that we think we can change God's mind, that He's going to do A, but if we pray hard enough, He'll do B. That's dumb to think that. God doesn't change His mind. He doesn't come along and say, yeah, you've been a jerk all your life. Oh, no, okay, we'll change it. You were going to hell, but now you're going to heaven. That doesn't work that way. Persistent prayer isn't for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. Persistent prayer is the way that we come to find and have a deeper understanding of how God operates. And it's not always because we get what we pray for. Persistent prayer is there to help us to learn how to recognize and see the work of God in our lives, whether it answers the prayer directly or comes in some other way. It's not a way in which we kind of browbeat God or buy Him off or something. You know, I'll pray a lot if you give me this. That's not the point. The point is that the more we pray, understanding who God is and the love that He has for us, the more we can grow in understanding that He does all that is best for us. And our persistent prayer is there to help us grow in the trust that we have that God loves us enough to do the right thing in regard to us. Not what we're praying for, but the right thing that is for us. The more we do that, the more that we can trust God. And what is really important is that we can break free of worry. I don't care what's going on, when we come and understand that by coming before God and praying, I mean, we can pray for stuff, I'm not saying that, but that's not what's so important as understanding that God is there with his love and care to take care of us. Might not be in the ways that we always want, but it will be in the ways that will draw us ever closer to him. And that is his goal. And the same is true that when we pray for other people and other situations, that it is there with an understanding that God is going to do what is necessary and what is good. May not be seen in our eyes. And maybe sometimes we don't even like what he does. But the fact of the matter is that the more we persist in opening ourselves up to prayer to God, I don't care for whatever it is, and we pray it genuinely, not in the hopes of, as I say, a browbeating God, but genuinely praying for what God wants to do in that situation, the more we will be able to see him at work and see what he is doing. This is one of those kinds of things that it's not a question of acquiring a lot. It's a question of learning how to open ourselves up. Yeah, in the body of the church, we've had people that had money, and some were queens and kings and rulers of nations and powerful people. But they were people that came to understand that that stuff wasn't just for them, but that God gave them the opportunity to use it in a different way. And for many others, the lack that they had was the same thing. It wasn't because they needed anything, it was because God was coming along and saying, I will provide for you. When Moses and the people crossed the Red Sea, leaving Egypt, and they got into the desert area, people complained. They came to Moses and says, the little stuff that we bought, we're running out, and water and matzo balls or whatever it was is more than, you know, we need some other stuff. And Moses prayed, and birds came, and they had meat to eat. And then he gave them manna that came down at night, and they were able to eat and sustain themselves. And then they complained, you know, later on about just having that. They wanted others. But the thing is that God was trying to get them to understand what they were about. He did not have them there for 40 years because he was angry at them. He had them there in the desert for 40 years because they got ticked at God. They didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to do what he said. And he said, for all of your failures, for each time that you failed, you will be here another year. Why? Because I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to learn that I will care for you. I will take care of you. And even when he gave them an opportunity to leave the desert, refused. They said, God, we don't want to go there. God said, but it's all set for you. And they said, okay, well, you're going to be here for a while. God wants us to pray. He wants us to ask for things. He wants us to live out our lives in trust. But he wants us to understand that he does things for us that is best if we would trust his love. And it's not about stuff. It is really about relationship. It's about really understanding who Jesus is for us. We see those pictures with his heart wrapped in thorns. I was about to say sticker bushes, but I couldn't think of it. In thorns and fire. He's coming along and saying, I will put up with much pain and anguish over you because my heart is on fire for love of you. And I will take care of you. And I will give you all that you need to live your life in love for me and to walk in my ways. And we have a real hard time with that. We want to do our own thing. And we've had people who have lived very simple lives and were very holy. And God let them live a long time as an example of how he takes care of them. And we've had some oddballs that have done the same thing. They sometimes would call them hermits, and they go off into the desert and live in a cave for 60 years or something. Nobody even knows that they're there. But they have come and they said, all I need is God. And he will take care of me. And the people find out that it's true. That God takes care of them. Now, I don't know her name, but some lady in the Middle Ages was a nun and sealed herself up in the wall of a church. And that's where she stayed. The little wall and building that she made looked right out on the tabernacle. And she spent all of her time praying and living in this little cubicle out on the side of the church. And we say, that's weird. Yes, it is weird. But she came to say that you can experience everything you want or need without having all this other stuff. St. Simon Stylites, the guy that was on a 30-foot pole, living on a platform above the city, all his time in prayer, right in the middle of this busy city where people were going by all the time. He was up on that thing praying to God. A little weird, yeah, he probably a little whatever. But he found his peace and his joy there. And he lived there for years. He wasn't there for 5 years or 10 years. He was almost a permanent monument there. And he lived there until he was very old, until he died up there. And he died kneeling in prayer. And he stayed kneeling in prayer until somebody said, you know, he hasn't moved up there for a while. Maybe something happened. The thing is that we have to decide what we want. And if we want the joy of the Lord, then we have to have a relationship with him that says, you are really all that I need and all that I want. We have to know our station in life and our responsibilities. But if we want to live our lives with the way God wants us to live it, then we have to do that kind of praying. So that even when we come up against hard things, maybe a family member's sick or somebody we know is dying and we want things to change or whatever, and we just say, I'm going for the next few days I'm going to pray for this, whether they live or die, God will do the right thing if our prayer is there. So we should always understand that God respects us and will do what we are praying for. It may not come in the way that we want, but it will come in the way that God wants us to understand how he loves us. You know, there's a story of the guy that was with Padre Pio, and he had a real good mother, and she died, and this young man went to Padre Pio and said, do you know if my mother went to heaven? And he said, well, I'll pray about it. And he came back to that man. And he said, well, your mom is good. She'll be in heaven soon, but she's going to spend the next 10 years in purgatory. It will only be 10 years if you go to Mass every Sunday for the next 10 years. then your mother will be taken into heaven. And the guy said, okay, I'll do that. 4 years later, Padre Pio ran into the guy and said, I had a word from God. He said, because of your faithfulness, he's already taken your mother into heaven. But it is because you have promised to go to Mass for 10 years. So just because she's in heaven doesn't relieve you of that responsibility. And the boy said, yes, I will do that. God can do what he wants. We are called to learn how to do what God wants. Not what we want, but what God wants. By remaining strong in that understanding, our prayer will, in fact, work miracles.